Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 Project here on the Nerd Party Network. Every 2 weeks, we look at two films from the A24 filmography, and in between, we try and interview the talent involved, from Bo Burnham to Millie Shapiro. In this episode, I'm joined by one of the earliest leads in an A24 film, Katie Chang, to discuss her role as Rebecca, the leader in The Bling Ring. We discuss the audition process, portraying a real-life individual, working with Sofia Coppola, developing a relationship with the fellow Bling Ring members, the release of the film and her career since, and much more. Thanks to Katie for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed the interview.
Always like to open these interviews by asking our guests, what was their journey to becoming an actor?
My journey to becoming an actor? I think I came out of the womb performing. I was always like a very dramatic, loud child. So I always knew that I wanted to do something performative, something artistic, but I didn't realize that kids could be actors. I didn't realize that it was a real job until I found the DVD extras on the DVD for Spy Kids, and I watched it, and I was like, holy crap, these kids are, this is their job. They just get to have fun all day and do stunts. Like, this is exactly what I want to do with my life. And I was like 7, and I went to bed that night, and I thought, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. This is definitely what's going to happen. And I don't know, it was funny just reflecting back now at this point in my life. Having such a strong conviction when you're so young, it was very me, it was very quintessentially me, but also sort of definitely very youthful, that blind belief that it's all going to work out. But that was sort of the genesis of it. I realized, you know, kids could do this, and it was a real job, and that's what I wanted to do. Started taking acting classes at this place outside of Chicago where I grew up. It's called the Actors Training Center, and just everything kind of blossomed from there.
What were they? Obviously, like, you're talking about special features there. I remember like watching those as well, and it really inspired me to think about sort of the behind the scenes and creative process. And it seems that something like barely any sort of DVDs or Blu-rays or anything come with those these days. And it, almost hearing your story there makes me think that we could be missing the next actor or director that could look at things like that and see how the process is and maybe be inspired.
Yeah, maybe, but also, I mean, now we have it in real time where actors can go on their Instagram stories and show what their day is like on set. So yes and no, right? Like, we're missing the nicely curated and edited version of it, but like almost in a different way, kids and young people have access to it in real time, which is, it's different.
I never considered that. That's an amazing point. Like, obviously, the Spy Kids documentary helped you, but what were like the other kind of films and talent that kind of inspired you when you were younger?
I mean, it's silly. I wish that I had like more intelligent answers to this question, but it was Spy Kids, it was Lizzie McGuire. You know, I definitely, when I was really, really young, the goal, the dream, the version of being an actor was like doing stunts and being on Disney Channel, right? And it wasn't until what was that movie that I watched? I was just talking about it the other day. I Am Sam. Seeing young Dakota Fanning being in such an intensely emotional and cathartic film, when I started to kind of shift my interest in, not only do I love being on set and I'm interested in that, but and that sounds fun, but I'm also interested in sort of that emotional journey that you can go through as an actor and what it does for an audience member.
When did the Bling Ring first come to your attention?
It was mid-2011, which is a really long time ago, and it's stressing me out. I was 16, and I had just come back from, like, I was doing this nerd camp at Brown University. I did, like, this film editing camp for, like, 3 weeks, and it was the first time I had been away from my parents. I had a lot of fun. But I came home, and my manager, Carol Debo, she's still my manager, she said, I found this thing on Breakdown. They're looking for, like, a 17-year-old Korean-American with no accent. That's kind of you. You know, I reached out, they want you to make a video of yourself just talking about yourself. So initially it was just talk about myself, don't act or anything, just be me and talk about me. And we didn't know Sofia Coppola was attached to the film at the time. It was just Fred Roos's name on the breakdown. And Fred Roos is our producer, and obviously he worked with Francis Ford Coppola for a long time. And so, yeah, it was just, it seemed odd, you know, because usually when you get submitted for a project and they ask you to audition, it's you get scenes and you do the scenes. This time it was just talk about school, talk about your interests. So I think I talked about, like, yeah, I'd just gone back from camp and I wanted to be a paleontologist and was interested in dinosaurs and I liked, you know, I liked Korean food. Like, I just talked about stuff that was on my mind at that moment.
When did you sort of, like, obviously it's kind of clouded in mystery at this point. When did it start to become clear what the story might be and, say, someone like Sofia Coppola's involvement?
So a couple weeks after we sent that video of me talking about myself, casting, who it was, Nicole Bright and Courtney Daniels, or Nicole Daniels and Courtney Bright, one of the two. They're great. They look exactly alike. It's very confusing. But Nicole Daniels and Courtney Bright. And they asked if I would fly out to LA and meet with the team. And the same night that we got that email was the night that my dad found a TMZ article saying that Sofia Coppola was directing this movie. And we just kind of put two and two together. So it was a combination of they wanted me to fly out and my dad's internet sleuthing. And so I flew out in like September of 2011 and went with my mom and my grandma, and I met Sofia Coppola and Fred Roos and Courtney and Nicole. And again, no scenes, no audition, just talk about myself. And then throughout the next couple months, I would put myself on tape with scenes and send them to LA. And then finally, I flew out again in December, and that's when I read with Israel Broussard. And then a couple days later, when I got back to Chicago, I found out I got the part.
What's it like when you sort of, you go through this process, like you're shooting these different audition scenes, thinking like, I might have the opportunity to be the lead in a Sofia Coppola film, that I've just come from camp and I might be off to be a lead in this sort of film in such a short period of time? What was that whirlwind like?
I just remember being really hopeful, but not putting too much emphasis on it, which I wish I could do now at this point in my career. I remember I was like, you know, there's no way this is going to work out, so I might as well have fun. This is really cool. I've met Sofia Coppola now. She's one of my favorite directors, and I'm going to go have fun doing these auditions, and it'll be a good story to tell to my children one day. I don't think I actually really thought that it was going to work out. I just felt really lucky that I got to even be involved in the process. It wasn't until, like, when I found out that I had booked it that I really had like a kind of a goofy reaction. I just started laughing for like an hour. I just was so over, I couldn't believe it, you know, and I really, really, really felt like someone was playing a trick on me. For the 3 months before I moved to LA to shoot the movie, I lived in like petrified fear constantly that it was going to get taken away from me for some reason. So I just think I've always had that like complex of like, this is not gonna work, there's no way this is gonna work out. But yeah, I just remember having fun and definitely being kind of like wide-eyed and green about the whole thing.
How much did you sort of know about the character of Rachel Lee? Obviously your character Rebecca is pretty much based on her. What was your sort of research process like for this role?
It was actually really cool. It's one of the most involved sort of research processes I've ever been in, where a director is, you know, kind of guiding the way. Sofia was really amazing, especially because it was my first film and I was so young. You know, I think she took a really good care of me in that sense, and she gave us a lot of kind of directives of how to go about building our characters. So a lot of it was, for me, you know, getting interested in fashion, reading different magazines every week, every day, watching certain shows, just sort of trying to live in the world and do the activities that my character in real life would have done. And we made a lot of, I made at least, I don't know, I can't remember if we were supposed to or I just did this because it was me, but I made like collages and binders and stuff, you know, of inspiration that I thought Rebecca would like. So yeah, and then a lot of it was honestly just like watching Pretty Wild, which was a reality show that was based off of some of the girls and watching The Hills and watching, that's what started my deep, deep, deep love for Laguna Beach. Love that show. So yeah, it was just sort of immersing yourself in the culture that these kids were accessing at that time.
What was it like for a girl from Chicago to try and get into that mindset? Did kind of exposure to all these shows and that kind of culture, did you start to understand how someone like Rebecca could kind of go down that road, or was it still quite alien?
No, I think I understood really intimately what it was, at least for me, what I believed this character was feeling and her motivations. I felt very strongly that I knew how she was, what she was thinking and how she was feeling. Because growing up, I grew up in Illinois. I didn't even grow up in Chicago. I grew up north of the city. So I grew up in a small town, you know, nobody really, well, people leave the Midwest, but like, you know, it's just going to Hollywood, living in that world, it's not what anyone does. And I was so, especially when I was younger, like I said, I loved, you know, the Disney Channel stars and everything. I was so enamored by that version of what Hollywood and fame and importance meant. So I understood even a little bit when I was 16 what it felt like to want so badly to be a part of something that you felt you were never going to be a part of. And I think that's what Rebecca, for me, was about, was just she wanted to escape the doldrum life that she felt like she was living and be a part of this incredibly beautiful world where nothing is bad and nothing is sad. Ultimately, that's not what happened, but I felt like I understood that for sure.
Did you ever manage to keep hold of all your binders that you had with all these sort of like Pinterest boards for Rebecca? Have you got them in some sort of loft somewhere?
I do. I save everything from most movies I do. So I have somewhere at my parents' house back home, in a box, is like, there's a whole box of call sheets, versions of the script, different pictures, all the binders and like little collages I made. There, it's all somewhere. It's definitely like in my possession. I would have to do some digging.
Before the film, did you get a chance to sort of develop a bond to translate to screen with the rest of the Bling Ring crew? How did that all work? Or were you sort of thrown together on like first day on set?
It was beautiful. They production and Sophia specifically cared a lot about us getting to know each other beforehand, especially us four kids. Obviously, Emma was crazy busy and a little bit older than us, but for me, Thaisa, Clara, and Israel, it was very important that we all kind of got to know each other beforehand. So I had everyone's like email address, and you know, I would email them and talk to them every once in a while before I moved to LA. And then when we got there, we all got to LA like a week and a half or two, I want to say like 2 full weeks before we even started shooting. And that was just purely bonding time for us. So we would go shopping and go get food. And we even did like a staged break-in of a house. Sophia's aunt, I think, or Sophia's sister-in-law, we broke into her house. She knew we were doing it, but we had like a list of things we had to get. It was fun, and it helped so much because by the time we got on set 2 weeks later, we knew each other really well, and we felt, you know, very comfortable kind of being friends because we were.
And were you able to work on sort of the dynamic? Because obviously your character is the leader of this gang. Were you able to sort of feel that you could inspire these characters around you to be a sort of credible kind of gang leader?
It's funny that you ask that. I think that's always the one thing I never really knew if I was doing well enough, because I looked up, especially at that time. I mean, I still look up to my friends, but I looked up to Israel and Claire and Thaisa and Emma so much because they had been doing this longer than me, or they had been a part of the town longer than me. And so I learned so much from them. And it was definitely weird where, like, you know, off screen, the dynamic would be a little different, but on screen I'd be like the head boss in charge. So, I don't know. I don't know if the answer is yes or no on that, but, I do know that, you know, especially for some of us, we created like lifelong bonds, which is really special. And having worked for a while now, that doesn't always happen.
One of the highlights of the film is your character's relationship with Mark, played by Israel. what was it like working together on the relationship that's really kind of the heart of the film?
I remember he was my first friend on the movie because we had screen tested together. So it felt like, you know, when I got there, it was a friendly face, and that was really special. Israel so quickly became like my brother, and to this day, he still is, you know, someone that has that brotherly role in my life. Someone that I think is like totally ridiculous, but I love him to death. That's how I feel about my own brothers. You know, we come from such different backgrounds and we've had such like drastically different upbringings, but to be able to connect with someone just on like a human level and admire them and feel that admiration back, it was special at the time. I think it made me feel really safe on set that I had this ally. Not only was he my character's friend, but he was my friend. And we lived, I mean, the apartment, me, Chase, Israel and I and our moms, we all lived like maybe down the hall from each other, a couple doors away. So we were all like really, really, really close and did everything together. And I remember I took him to a spinning class once. Like we just, you know, we just were kids and bonded really quickly, which was nice. Especially because, I mean, not even just in like acting, but like in life, if you put five teenagers in a room together, they're definitely not all going to get along, but we all got along so well. It was great. I mean, to this day, I still see Israel, and yeah, the last time I saw him, he's so wild. He made me meet him on like the top of a mountain somewhere, like kind of an hour north of LA. And I was like, where the hell am I?
Definitely sounds like he's got that brother side nailed down.
Totally.
This was obviously your first feature film. What was it like on that first day on set? Was it everything you hoped it would be? And what surprised you?
It was not everything I hoped it would be because I remember being like kind of detached from the whole situation. I didn't have any expectations because I didn't know what was going to happen, which stressed me out a lot. It was very, very, very overwhelming. Very overwhelming. They did the schedule right in the sense that my first like week, I didn't really even have a line. It was just a lot of like mood shots and background shots, a lot of like stuff that we shot in this one bar and dance club. So I was able to ease myself into it, but yeah, it was very, very, very overwhelming, and stressful. And I remember feeling like, wow, I don't know how to do this, you know, for all the preparation and acting classes and time I've spent into this career, I've never done this before. And that's terrifying. Definitely by the end of the first like 2 weeks of filming, I felt so much more stable and on solid ground. But yeah, that first couple of days especially was just very, like, humbling, definitely. And everyone was so kind and helpful to me. But I remember feeling, a little kind of like, I don't know, like the new kid in school, you know, which was sort of stressful. There's just so much technically about making a film that I didn't know about. So after like one of our first or second shots, one of our DPs came over and was like, by the way, you need to like make sure that you're in the movie. Cause apparently I was just like sitting back and like hiding behind people in the shot the whole time. So he was like, find the camera. By the end of it, cause we shot for 2 months, by the end of it, I really could never go back, you know, to that time where I had never made a movie before. Now it's, you know, so ingrained in me and I love it. I loved it. Yeah.
What's Sofia Coppola like as a director? She's one of my personal favorites and I love so much of her work. And what was it like to be sort of directed by her, this, you know, young actress, you know, and she's got this reputation of casting a lot of young actresses, whether it's in something like this, The Beguiled, Virgin Suicide, Somewhere. What's she like as a director and what makes her so special with young talent?
I think having grown up in the industry in some capacity, Sophia has a perspective that not a lot of people have, where she just understands inherently what it's like to be young and to be on set. And so therefore she's really caring and she takes a lot of time with you to make sure that you feel comfortable, which not many people do, whether you're behind schedule or whatever, but she just really cares about the well-being of everyone on set, which is, I think, a beautiful thing. She's a very quiet woman. She's very quiet and reserved and stoic and at the same time, somehow incredibly accessible and kind. And she she was just so calm the entire time. Having made a lot of movies since, you know, not everything is always calm and sometimes there's tension on set, but it was just the most harmonious set experience I've had, you know, thus far. And I think that starts from the top down. And so when you have someone in charge like Sophia, who's so level-headed and kind, it trickles down to, you know, the lowest of the rungs on the ladder. But yeah, for us, she was just, she always, I think priority number one was making sure we felt comfortable and knew what was going on and felt talked to and consulted. And that meant a lot, you know, as a kid, to feel like a collaborator, not like an employee.
Read that you've gone on to graduate and do a screenwriting degree. Did you learn anything from kind of, you obviously mentioned there's all these different drafts of sort of the Bling Ring. Did you learn much about screenwriting from sort of Sophia at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I remember I've spent a lot of time asking her a lot of questions, just trying to get inside the head of someone who's been doing this for, you know, a little bit of time. But she was such a champion of my work. I mean, I still send her my writing to this day and she always responds and, you know, is really helpful. And she wrote my college recommendation both times that I went to school. So that was just, it was lovely to be supported by someone like that. And I think Sophia is such a visual writer, which is something that I found actually quite difficult for me. I tend to be so much more about dialogue than about what's going on, you know, on the screen. And so to have worked with someone early on who cares very much about the visual aspect of her writing, it was quite impactful.
What was the best note that you ever got from her on one of your scripts that really helped you?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think the best thing that she's ever said to me was just think about if what you're saying is true. So, I guess I can unpack that a little bit. Like, even when I was acting, she would say something like that, where he's like, okay, you know, this is the line, but are you being truthful in this line? Are you masking this line? Is your intention something else? Like, just think about what you're saying here and if it's true to you. And that translated to writing as well. Which is, you know, it's a sort of different, but kind of, it's the same. You just constantly have to be thinking about what's the meaning behind what I'm saying and what's the truth behind it, because that allows you to have some sort of clarity in where you're going in the script.
What was it like to sort of follow in the steps of the Bling Ring? And in this film, even though it's make-believe, you're still exposed to these celebrity homes, the designer clothes, the lifestyle, the streets, the restaurants. What was that kind of like to act in and sort of get into that bubble?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was just so jarring, I think. Wonderfully jarring to have such a change in my life like that, where all of a sudden I'm from, you know, small town Illinois. I'm here in LA walking down Robertson Boulevard wearing a Louis Vuitton, you know, sure. It was very odd, but also I think concurrently it was kind of exactly what I wanted. I don't know. I think I'd always, like I said, been enamored by Hollywood, and it was the perfect introduction to Hollywood, and also so sometimes to the downsides of the industry and to the ugliness of Hollywood, not only through the characters, but, you know, just through the original story of what we were basing our film off of. I felt like I grew up a lot on that set, and I attribute a lot of that to just like the exposure to the world we were a part of. Yeah, I would say it was awesome and scary.
In my co-host asked me to ask you, in like proper Bling Ring style, were you able to like sneak anything off the set, whether it was like a fancy bag or like a prop watch? Was there anything that you were able to take away with you?
Yeah, I took some slippers. They were like, but they were like some Tory Burch slippers, and I didn't take them. I asked if I could take them, but they, you know, yeah. The crazy thing is, I got a lot of free stuff. It was weird, you know, people, especially when you're in that place in your life, especially when we were promoting the movie, people would want to give you a lot of free stuff, and it just felt kind of odd to me. I was like, but I didn't pay for this, you know? But yeah, from the movie specifically, I took some slippers, and I want to say I took some like prop photos that I probably wasn't supposed to take, but I did anyway.
For those that might not follow you on Instagram, you posted a really fantastic and honest insight into what it's like to really attend your film's opening night premiere. What was that like for you seeing that film for the first time?
Oh, you're talking about the... Oh, yeah, I know which post you're talking about. Yeah, special and awful. It was a hard night. I think anyone who does kind of a deep dive into my social media presence can intuit that I've been through some different things in my life since the movie has come out. So coming back to that night specifically when we premiered the movie in L.A., It was so wonderful and so hard, you know, and that's kind of life. There were a lot of anxieties about the day, and especially about, you know, my body image issues and how I looked and everything, but also really special. My family was there with me, my friends were there with me. So yeah, I think it's rare, but the moments in your life that encompass all the most incredible things and all the most awful things, they stay with you. Those moments don't go away. So that's definitely one of them.
The film had an incredible marketing sort of campaign. I remember that trailer, the neon lighting, the soundtrack, the shots. It felt like it was one of A24's first big rollouts. I mean, between that and Spring Breakers, what was it like to see your kind of face plastered over CDs, posters, you know, amazing kind of trailers, to sort of be front and center in sort of like a marketing campaign for a film? What's that kind of it like to be in that kind of media swirl?
Yeah, I mean, just totally weird. Exciting and so crazy. I actually, when I was like 17 or 18, the background on my phone just said, don't Google yourself. you can become so like obsessed with these images of yourself, but It was, like I said, I mean, most of what I remember from Blingering was just like, how cool and how weird is this, you know? And that was just another one of them. It was like, here's my face, I'm on TV, I guess this is normal now, you know? But also, I mean, I wouldn't ever want to sound not humble or not appreciative. It was an incredible experience, and it changed my life absolutely for the better. But yeah, there's just nothing that can prepare you for something like that. There's no course you can take in school to be prepared for that sort of change in your life.
How does it sort of feel to be part of the A24 filmography? We were discussing this when we touched on the Bling Ring for the first time. It almost felt like Spring Breakers and the Bling Ring were like, these films needed to be like successful and to kind of market what they were going to become to sort of help them on the way. Did you sort of feel any of that pressure, or was it just sort of like, oh, these are just the guys that are going to be releasing our film?
I think it was a lot more the latter, but also everyone was just excited. That's sort of what I remember, was anyone from A24 that we interacted with, and we were with them a lot, was just, there was no pressure, there was no stress. They were just like, we can't believe we get to put this movie out into the world. We're so excited. We are so happy. You know, how can we help you guys? And everyone that I met there and still, you know, talk with are just the most lovely people and very, very, very talented. So, yeah.
What did you make of, like, they recently showed your film as sort of like the part of their public access series? I think it was like projected on sort of a billboard above some sort of LA little shopping center or something like that, a little booze shop. What was that kind of like to see that people are still showing this film all these years on, talking about it, and it's sort of a key part of their filmography?
Yeah, it's really special. I mean, someone the other day came up to me, I was doing some shopping, and she came up to me and she was like, you're from that movie and I really like it. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy to me. You know, I can't believe it's still something people are talking about. I mean, I'm so glad and I love the movie and I think it's really good, but it's just wild. You know, I sometimes forget when I'm like going about my life that sometimes people have seen my face and they remember it. But it's very meaningful and very special. It was such a huge, huge, huge part of my life and of me growing up. So the fact that people remember it means a lot.
One of those things, like, what do you think what's its legacy been for yourself? And as a general kind of film, what do you think its kind of legacy has become?
I mean, for me, the legacy of The Bling Ring has been that I have a career. That's the most honest way I can put it. Like, for a long time afterwards, and probably still sometimes to this day, it's the reason that I get offered jobs or get in the room for certain auditions. So I will forever and always be indebted to Sophia Fred and Courtney and Nicole, because they gave me the thing that allowed me to be where I am now and to be a working actor. I think for the greater part of like life and movie making in A24, it proved that you don't have to make an incredibly vapid slapstick movie to make a movie about a bunch of kids doing bad things, you know, that it can be artistic and it can be creative and it can be thoughtful at the same time.
Have you ever heard sort of any of the reaction from, say, Rachel Lee or anyone like that to The Bling Ring, or is it sort of just kind of, have they sort of never perhaps seen it, or I'm talking about her in particular?
I have never heard anything about her reaction to it, or if she ever said anything. From what I understand, she kind of went into privacy, and after she left prison, she didn't really ever resurface. So I don't even know at this point if I'd be interested in hearing, because I'm sure she's lived so much of life at this point that it's just so far in the past, you know. But no, I think we read something about Alexis Nyers had seen it, but with Rachel, no, unfortunately or fortunately, I never heard any sort of response from her.
You'd mentioned there that the film has helped you have this career. What have been some of the highlights sort of post Bling Ring for people that have maybe just seen Bling Ring or looking to maybe check out some of your other work? What's been some of the real highlights for you in the years since?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the highlight in general has just been the amazing actors that I've gotten to work with, because even since Bling Ring, I've learned so much about my craft and the industry. And the movie I did right after Bling Ring, I worked with Sir Ben Kingsley, which was, yeah, probably one of the greatest moments of my life. And I learned so much just being with him, even for 1 week. I've gotten to work with Elizabeth Marvel, who's one of my favorite actresses. I worked with her last year. So I think it's just the connections that I've made and the people I've gotten a chance to collaborate with. That's been really special. Tim Blake Nelson is another one that I just absolutely loved working with him. But yeah, for people, you know, that want to see my work, I have a film on Amazon called A Birder's Guide to Everything. And I have a film on Netflix called The Outcasts. And then, yeah, moving forward, you know, other stuff will be coming out, knock on wood. I have a film called All the Little Things We Kill, and then I'm in a film called Daniel Isn't Real. For like a split second I'm in it, but it's a really good movie, so I suggest people see it. I think it's coming out at the end of the year.
One thing I'm excited about is obviously you've got your screenwriting degree, and I've noticed as well that you're a producer in sort of an upcoming TV series. Is sort of mixing sort of being in front of the camera and being behind it sort of the ultimate goal for yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. The ultimate goal for me is to write something, act in it, and produce it. I love making movies, I love making TV, I love telling stories, and it's hopefully what I'll be able to do for most of my life. And so any way that I can be involved in that, I want to be, whether it's behind the scenes or in front of the camera.
How did sort of Screwed come around? Because obviously you're quite a young producer, but it's such an exciting opportunity. How did that kind of come around?
Friends from college, my friends from Northwestern, my friend Ben Weiss specifically, he's getting his MFA at Tisch right now in screenwriting, but he and I were in a senior screenwriting class together, and I thought his script was incredible. It was this beautiful story about a drag queen called Sweet Chili, and he reached out to me when we both were living in New York after graduating, and he said, I have this other script, it's called Screwed, I'd love for you to read it. And I read it and texted him back immediately. I was like, no, we're gonna make this together. We actually just finished our final cut today, so that's pretty exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And then yeah, in the new year, kind of shopping that around and seeing where it can go.
What are you like as a producer? Are you someone very hands-on, or is it about kind of getting the talent what they need? What are you like as a producer?
I think I'm much more of a facilitator than a producer. Like I sort of just make sure everything goes according to plan. So it's funny, you know, I'm very much an artist and I'm an actor, but when I'm producing, I'm doing like budgets and scheduling and logistics, and yeah, it's like a different part of my brain, but it's nice to use it. And I do love producing. It's I feel very good at it. And you know, I think most people would agree it's nice to feel good at something. But yeah, with Screwed specifically, like, we're just really proud of the project we've made, and I think it's really timely too. So hopefully in the next couple of years you'll see it somewhere.
That's awesome. What kind of advice or something that you've seen on a set in the past few years has really stood out of you as something that's really helped you as being a producer, something that someone handling a difficult situation or a positive situations that's inspired you perhaps?
I think the best producers I've worked with are the ones that that have plans but are flexible, you know. So the best way to produce is to be present, and anytime something needs doing, do it. You know, there's no one way to be a producer. It's literally just you're the fixer for anything that could go awry. And I think the best producers too are the ones that have really good control of their temper, because it can be a stressful experience, especially when people are coming at you left, right, and center trying to fix problems, and you're the person that has to do it. But someone who's level-headed and flexible, I think those are the best producers I've worked with. And yeah, some of the best experiences I've seen have been people who are just adaptable and calm.
And finally, I meant to ask this a little while ago. What are some of your kind of favorite films of sort of like the A24 filmography? Obviously, you play a huge role in that with Where Bling Ring Came. And obviously, it's sort of set up that they will put women front and center in films, and whether it's front of the camera or behind the camera. What are some of your favorite films from their filmography that have really stood out for you or had a sort of personal impact?
I mean, I loved Obvious Child. That was one of my favorites.
That's great. That's the first time someone, when we've asked that question, has come back with that one. I think that's an incredibly underrated film.
Yeah, for me to have seen, like, two, it was really just Gillian Robespierre and Jenny Slate making that movie. And so two strong women making a movie that really resonated with me was definitely special. So I loved that movie. There have been the thing that's crazy is since Bling Ring, there have been like tons of, like, you could throw a rock and you'd hit an A24 movie in this town. I loved The Florida Project, obviously. And I just watched Under the Silver Lake and I actually really, really liked it.
I loved it too. So good. Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's going to be one of these films. I think people will be baffled they sat on it.
Yeah, I think so too.
And kind of finally, if people wanted to kind of reach out to you or kind of look out for news of sort of your upcoming films, productions, you know, screenwriting, where's the best kind of places to get that?
I hate this answer, but it's Instagram. Unfortunately, Instagram, Katie, @Katie_Chang. I don't even have a Twitter anymore. I did when I was younger, but I think I deleted it like angrily one night when I was in college. So Instagram, that's the best place to go. And then, Daniel Isn't Real is coming out at the end of this year, and hopefully All the Little Things We Kill will be out next year.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Katie, for coming on. It's been such a treat to talk with you today. And thanks for giving us an insight into, you know, The Bling Ring, your amazing career and your performance. It's been fantastic to talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lee.